Hello and welcome to the Jen Marples Show. I'm your host, Jen Marples, founder of the Jen Marples Agency, mentor to women worldwide, and your number one champion and cheerleader dedicated to helping you embrace and rock midlife. The Jen Marples Show has one goal, to empower you so you can go out and power the world. So each week, I'll bring you conversations with incredible women who will inspire us, educate us, and motivate us to live our best lives. I also pop on solo to share my best advice, tips, and tools to help you unapologetically go for your midlife dreams, embrace your age, and become unstoppable. If you are looking for a change, ready to uplevel your life and business, or pivot into something new, then this is the show for you. And know this, you're not too fucking old to step into the midlife spotlight and claim all that you desire. It's your time to shine, and I am so glad you're here. Hello, everyone. Today, I have a fabulous guest, and her name is Dr. Vonda Wright. So if you're not already following her on the interwebs and on Instagram in particular, you're going to definitely be running to do that once we wrap up this interview. Today, we are talking about longevity, muscle mass, our bone health. Dr. Vonda likes to say, like, if we are frail, like we've got nothing. So this is going to be the anti-frailty podcast you need to listen to. But before I bring her on, I'm just going to read a bit of her shiny credentials to you. So Dr. Wright is a practicing double board certified orthopedic sports surgeon. She is an author, a speaker, a researcher, and an innovator whose work stands at the intersection of longevity, women's health, and performance. She is widely recognized for her thought leadership, and she is a frequent media and conference expert, and her innovative science-based approach is changing the lives of millions of midlife women. She practices in Florida, and she is the founder and CEO of Precision Longevity. So everything she's doing, basically, ladies, is to help us be strong, to help us not break down, to help us be strong in midlife. And I saw that post you wrote, Dr. Wright, just about how even you weren't able to like lift up a patient and how we really just need to be really focused on strength, bone health, muscle mass. And we're going to get into all of that. So with all of that, though, welcome to the show. And I'm just so happy that you're here.
Thanks to finally meet you.
I know we were just talking, everyone, before we got on that there's a lot of women in the menoverse in this midlife world. And Dr. Wright is one of them. And we realized we hadn't met each other yet. So this is really like the reason I do the podcast is just to meet fabulous women and just to talk. I bring on the most amazing guest listeners, as you know, so we can get powered up to go out and do all the things that we've got to do. I want to ask you my first question, which is why you're so passionate about helping midlife women.
My bio includes my orthopedic history, but if you really want to know the real scoop and go way back, we were talking about Chicago earlier. When I came out of college in Chicago, there was a desperate shortage of nurses like there is now. And so right after college, I went directly into grad school and got another bachelor's and another master's in cancer nursing. And this was in the very early 90s. I immediately, when I got done with that education, went and started taking care of women who were in the greatest battle of their lives. By and large, they were all midlife women. And at the time, cancer care was mostly administered in the hospital. They would come in 1 week for a month, for 6 months. And so you can only envision the kinds of the clinical relationships you build when you're that close for 6 months. So I'm standing beside them in the fight of their life. And I'm only 23 years old. So I'm still formulating who I am and what I want to be and who I want to serve. Jen, you cannot imagine the lifetime of influence it had on me to see women in the throes of the biggest battle of their life trying to get back to who they are, right? And this is a theme. I'll tell you a little bit as we start talking about frailty, how it comes full circle. But here are women like you and me taking care of everybody else and now needing somebody to take care of them. So at 23, it made this huge influence on me. And then fast forward a couple decades when I was already through my orthopedic training, I was doing sports and taking care of big teams. I came across the data, which is now common, that women make 80% of all the healthcare decisions for themselves and everyone they touch, not only our own children, but our neighbors' children, the people we work with. And I thought, oh my God, the women that I take care of do not understand the power we hold for good. So I started this little bitty nonprofit called Women's Health Conversations, and we started throwing live events for women. And I bring in all kinds of people like you, very mediagenic, very full of knowledge, and lots of doctors. And we would educate, empower, sometimes entertain women so that they came into the power that we exercise every day, which is by and large that of a caretaker. You know, you didn't ask me to get excited, but see what happens to me when I think about where my knowledge that women were powerful came from. And then understanding in my own adulthood that we do it, but we don't get it. We do it, but we don't know how powerful we are. That's why I'm so passionate. I think we are such good for this world. We do so much for everyone. And sometimes we don't know what we're capable of. And so I just like to tell people how powerful they are and equip them to do it.
Ooh, I love that. And you are bringing up a couple different things for me. My listeners know that my mother had a heart attack with Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow.
And it's to your point of my dad had been sick all last year, had taken on all sort of the care my sister was helping, but just she's very stoic and that, you know, just typical, like just keep, you know, putting herself last. And I was kind of noticing the stress at the holiday time. And sure enough, and thankfully she's fine. They cleared an artery. She's good. She was her wake up call. But that was just, you know, but one small example of, okay, this happens when we don't take care of ourselves. She's 78. She's now thinking, okay, let me redouble down on exercise and eating right. So we're going to talk today about we don't want to wait till we are in our 70s to do that. We want to triple down on all of that now. So thankfully you're doing all that you're doing. And I'm glad you're passionate about women. So am I. So you're on the right podcast. But I really want to dig in with you today on this whole, you mentioned like being frail.
Yeah.
Just tell us, what does longevity really mean? Or I guess put another way, like why should we really care about longevity right now in our 40s and 50s and beyond?
Listen to this, Jen. I was listening to some podcast. I can't even remember who it was. And the person commented, and it's like a light went off. For men, in the research I do, the musculoskeletal longevity research, and in society in general, the men whom I love men, I'm married to a man, I love these people. However, these people are talking about their health in terms of longevity. Women have been fed the lie that our future is all about anti-aging going backwards. You rarely, until you're now talking about it, I'm talking about it every single day, about the longevity of a woman. So part of the conversation for me is reframing what we're talking about. If I see one more anti-aging thing, those marketers are so out of touch with what strong, powerful midlife women are about, because I'm not afraid of aging. I openly state my age and proudly, because I can do whatever I want to do when I want to do it, because I work at it, right? So that's the framework. We're going to shift the conversation to longevity. But in doing that, longevity can mean a couple things, and I'll tell you the way I'm interested in it. There are longevity science who believe aging is a disease and that we should be living to 150 or indefinitely or without any death at all. Well, that's one way to look at longevity, just sheer number of years. But here's data that since the turn of the century, the 1900s, when men lived to 40, and frankly, we don't know how long women lived because they didn't keep any data on that. I know. So men lived to 40 through workplace safety, vaccinations, modern medicine, the life expectancy of men is around 79 and decreasing. It was 76.4 last year. And women, it's around 79 to 80 on average. Now, we know lots of people who have lived longer and less, but so 80-ish. Let's say life expectancy is 80-ish. That is not our health expectancy. That is not how long we're healthy. Data show that our health expectancy, our health span, meaning when the ravages of chronic disease rear their ugly heads, whether we've had the diagnosis before, it really gets serious at about 62. So let's do the math. 62, 80. What happens in this 20 years if we rely on our youth to carry us into our old age? What happens is we go from vitality down some slippery slope to frailty, which I will define for you. But I don't believe that has to be that way. I believe that with interventions that change us at the very genetic level, we can be healthy, vital, active, joyful. And frankly, Jen, we have the most amazing example of the way I want to die, which is Queen Elizabeth. On a Tuesday at 97, she met with the prime minister of her country. And on Thursday, she simply went to sleep and didn't wake up. I don't know, if I get to choose, that's a good way to do it and not die for 20 years or go to the doctor three times a week for 20 years, right? So when I talk about longevity, I'm talking about living old enough to do what we want to do, but I'm really talking about living well enough to do everything we want to do. And that, my friend, takes work. And maybe that's a four-letter word.
Hello, fabulous listeners. I want to let you know that our friends at Pandia Health have launched a service to provide menopause and perimenopause symptom treatment directly to you from the comfort of your own home. We hear so much about the challenges facing midlife women at work and in daily life, and not enough about the very safe, very real treatments available to help us deal with the hot flashes, the headaches, the mood swings, dry skin, vaginal discomfort, and UTIs. Wow, it's really a long list, but you don't have to suffer. Everyone who signs up gets a consultation with a doctor who has expertise in menopause and is overseen by a Menopause Society certified physician. Your doctor works with you to get the best treatment for your body and your preferences. And that's so important because taking care of your health and well-being is part of empowerment, especially in midlife. Do not let menopause symptoms get in your way. And the best part is medications are delivered for free. You can check out Pandia Health and learn more at pandiahealth.com/menopause or by clicking the link in the show notes. Use my code JenMarples for 10% off. Again, that's JenMarples for 10% off. Yeah, that just made me think of something else I just read. And I know you talk about this, of our life expectancy is more than the man's, but then our health declines and decreases. And there's that quality of life. And I'm just a firm believer of, like, the glass is half full. So we do everything. You know, I'm 54. I look in the mirror and I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm going to go do a handstand in yoga. Like, there's nothing stopping me from anything because that's just my attitude. Start 20 businesses, you know, whatever. Because, yeah, you know, we can, like you said, like, we can do whatever we want. But I think it's good for everyone to hear kind of that little bit of that shock and awe factor. If we don't take care of ourselves now and put in the time now, it's really about this quality of life. And I think we can all safely say, like, we don't want to be like our parents' generation of the, it's not if you're going to be taking pills, it's how many pills are in the cabinet. I look at all my dad's things and I'm like, Dad, you could, you know, eat less carbs and maybe, you know, eat some more protein, you know, all the stuff, right? But that's just what's been sold to us, right? As a society, that you're going to be old, decrepit, have 80 pill bottles. And something you had said too, I watched one of your Instagram lives, I think, or one of your videos, saying that also it's very expensive for us to be old if we're unwell. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You'll use up your life savings. I mean, healthcare is incredibly expensive unless you choose the right Medicare, part whatever, part B. It doesn't cover prescriptions. So, I mean, imagine just taking 3 pills a month, how much of your savings versus, I think what you're referring to, I had priced out on average, although the price can be much higher than this, it costs, I don't know, $6,000 a month to live in a nursing home. It's exorbitant, right? Who has that kind of money? And if you have money flowing everywhere, you're probably not going to end up in a nursing home. You're going to end up in your own house with nurses. But so it's expensive to get to be aged without your health. Not only financially, but it's expensive from an emotional, from a family standpoint, from So what do we do about it? I don't want to be Debbie Downer.
I know. I think I'm glad we went down, but we're all going to be up. But I just think there's like that little bit of that shock factor, because it's kind of like that, you know, telling my son, don't drive fast because you'll get into an accident. Well, his frontal lobe isn't fully formed. It's kind of like telling us we feel great now, like, oh, but it's really important to know where we can be if we don't do all the things you're going to tell us to do. So what is sort of your top recommendation?
Yeah.
Us for women in midlife right now to become strong.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you that before I go right there, I want to say, what is our goal? What is the goal of what I'm about to say to you? It is longevity and health, longevity and power. Power is strength over time. If I want to be strong enough to not fall down in my own kitchen and break my hip, and therefore 50% will not live by themselves again, and a third will die, right? If I want to be strong enough to go take a walk by myself, go to the grocery store, go get my hair done, visit my kids when I want, what does that take? That takes power, a lot of muscle fibers firing at once repeatedly, and that takes lifting heavy. If you have no time, I have four or five things that are a lifestyle that become not hard when you just, it's how I live, right? If you're starting out and you only have 1 hour and you're like, this woman is telling me to do too many things, how many things? One thing is to go lift heavy. We must lift weights. We must put down the mamby-pamby pink weights and lift as heavy as our bones will let us. Because in doing that, and I'll define heavy in a minute, in doing that, we will stimulate muscle protein synthesis. We're going to make more muscle. We're going to rejuvenate our muscle stem cells. We're going to build better bone, right? Muscle contraction causes transcription, which means the making of a protein that goes to our brain and makes us more resilient. There's almost nothing that muscle will not contribute to. So if you have 1 hour, you go start lifting weights. And if you've never done it before, now is the time to put off buying the new thing that you want, maybe the shoes with the red soles or the hot bag. I'm as guilty as everybody else, but maybe we postpone that or postpone our $7.18 a day drink at Starbucks, also guilty, and invest in some training, right? You're learning a new skill, hire a trainer to teach you so you don't get hurt. And then you're going to lift. If you have two things to do, then you're going to lift 3 or 4 days a week, and you're going to walk at a low heart rate every day, and twice a week, you're going to sprint. Now, that word sprint scares people, but what it just means is your maximum effort. So let me give you examples in real numbers of those two things. When I say lift heavy, it means that in four basic compound motions, meaning push with your arms, pull with your arms, bench press, pull-ups, pull with your legs, push with your legs, squats, deadlifts. There are hundreds of varieties of these things. I want you to do 4 reps, 4 sets, not 20 reps of the lightest thing you can possibly do. That has its place for mobility, but if we're trying to build muscle and be strong, we must lift heavy. So let's give you an example from my arms. Biceps curls is not a compound lift, but if I were biceps curling, I could biceps curl 15 pounds until tomorrow morning, but I can only biceps curl 25 pounds 4 times before I'm hauling my whole back into it, right? But in working to exhaustion like this, we're helping to build muscle. You must feed the muscle building process by eating enough protein, which I think is 1 gram per ideal pound a day. And we can talk about how to get that much in. So that's my muscle example. My sprinting example, because that word scares people, your maximum effort example is when I'm doing base training, meaning lower heart rate training, where I'm building metabolic efficiency, my treadmill incline is at 4, and you can do this with anything, walking outside, bike, treadmill, stair climber. It's about your heart rate. But for me, incline of 4 and speed of 4. And I'm just going along for 45 minutes, breaking a little sweat towards the end. When I'm sprinting, I punch it up to 11. I go as fast as my little legs can carry me. And I try not to fly off the end of the treadmill because I'm a short person. I'm only 5'4". That's sprinting to me. I don't look like Richardson, this amazing woman, a sprinter, or Usain Bolt. I look like Vonda Wright trying to go as fast as she can. But in doing that, that is critical for muscle stem cell rejuvenation. And here's the bonus round. For me and for the women I work with, lifting heavy, base training and sprinting totally recomposed my body. Because I, like everybody else, despite being an athlete my whole life, I gained the 30 pounds when estrogen walked out the door. And I hadn't changed anything and I was pissed off. So I had to find a different way to work. And so it was lifting heavy, base training and sprinting. It didn't just go away. I built 8 pounds of muscle. I lost 12% body fat and overall lost weight. But it wasn't by dieting and it wasn't by starvation. It was by building muscle, eating enough protein and exercising and base training. All of those things I've just said are a lifestyle that we should start as soon as people get off listening to this podcast, because it doesn't start. It can start when we're 78. There's no time when your body wouldn't respond to it. But ideally, Jen, I would like, I told you I have a 35-year-old, I call them my bonus children, bonus son, my husband's son. I'd like these behaviors to start for women between 35 and 45, because I call that the critical decade to get your proverbial SHIT together, because you still have enough estrogen. You still have all that wonderful hormone to get all these habits in place, to get your metabolism responding to weightlifting. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. It is harder when estrogen walks out the door. It was harder at my menopause day. It's February 22nd on my 51st birthday, just because I know that I had my last period on my 50th birthday. It becomes very hard. So I suggest now, young women, millennial women.
You brought up a couple different things I was thinking of. So one is, I know that I talked to so many women and I think we were all, especially, you know, our age group, midlife, Gen X, we were solidly in the aerobics, diet, Coke era. Working out more, starving ourselves and all of that. So I feel like a lot of women are going to be like, oh my God, I've got a lip, because we were told if we lift heavy, then that makes us big and bulky.
You never will be unless you want to be.
And that we're supposed to eat more versus less. And most people probably aren't eating enough. I know when I was evaluating my own stuff and I get busy working, I'm the worst. I'll be like, oh my God, I haven't eaten, or I've had one protein shake today. It's hard to get it. It's hard to get it all in. So it's really a mindset shift for us. So it's not the what we did in our 20s and 30s of you stopped, I don't know, eating chocolate and you ran 5 miles a day and you dropped by what, you just look great because you could.
Yeah.
And so now what you're saying is it really takes time and effort and planning to feel good now is also to then help us live these amazing, strong, healthy, older lives.
I think we should devote as much time to this as, say, you and I are devoting to our children's college tours, which we were just talking about, right? You've had that planned forever. You know all the stops. You know how you're getting to each stop. I wrote a book called Guide to Thrive, which was basically how to write a business plan for your health, because we plan everything except our health. And that's the kind of planning and execution that it takes to get us where we're going.
I know for me, for everyone listening, I have a hack and I've told people about this. I have my exercises planned out. It has its own color code on my Outlook calendar. And so, and I've done this for years. I've been on the phone with clients saying, I got a hard stop at 9:15 because I am walking into a class. I think it's reshifting and putting ourselves first. And so we got to put ourselves first. And that means putting our health first. Yeah. And making that a priority. So I'm so glad we're having this conversation. You mentioned the protein. You said planning the like a gram of protein per like what you want to weigh.
Yeah. You know, a BMI is not that great of a way to tell how much you should weigh, but it gives us an idea. So that's why I say ideal weight, ideally. So a gram per pound. If we're lifting like we're talking about, you need to feed that And it also goes to the traditional way, and you just mentioned it, Gen Xers like us were taught to lose weight is we just starved ourselves. Well, here's what happens when you do that. The weight you lose is half muscle and half fat, right? So please, superstar models, don't be mad at me. I'm just giving the example of I was sent for some reason. I had a business relationship with Mercedes and they sent me to New York Fashion Week, I don't know, 15 years ago. And I was so out of my element. That's not me. But I saw lots and lots and lots of thin people whom we emulate on the covers of magazines. But there is a phenomenon well described in the literature, medical literature, that in common culture is called skinny fat. You can be skinny, but when you look at a body composition, you're more than 50% fat. And okay, fine, you look great and stuff, but what's the downside of that? You don't have enough muscles to do the activities you need to do or to age in the way we need to. You don't have that base. You are not building better bone. Jen, I've had 28-year-olds with osteoporosis at this point. When I talk about eat enough protein to support what you're doing, it's not to try to make people's lives hard. You just need to feed the muscle you're trying to build. So how do you get in that much? I try to get 130 grams of protein a day, between 130, 120, and 130. Well, the easiest way is to get a free app. I use my macros plus, and I just started plugging in what I was eating. Oh, a cup of egg whites. Oh, half of avocado. Oh, a cup of beans. Or, oh, I'm eating a chicken breast the size of my hand. Well, you quickly start memorizing grams of protein and you don't have to do it anymore. In the morning, I eat a cup of egg whites cooked in an omelet with some feta cheese and lots of spinach, and that's 25 grams. Around 10 o'clock, I supplement with protein. I'm drinking Mind Body greens right now. I have no affiliation with them, but it tastes good. 25 more grams of protein. At lunch, I eat my 40 gram chicken breast that's about the size of my hand, and it starts to add up. But you have to do it consistently, or else what we do is we eat our own muscle for fuel. We just break down. If we're doing lots of cardio, not a lot of lifting, and we're not fueling ourselves, we just start breaking down.
You made me think of something, kind of going back to our earlier chat, just about how women will planning the college tour, you'll get the baseball coach, we'll do all these things for our kids. Yeah. But then we'll balk at spending the money on, say, a trainer or wanting to buy organic chicken or even putting the time into the calendar to do things. And it's really, truly so important that we do that. Yeah. Because when you said like you're eating your own muscle, I'm just like, if we constantly are putting ourselves last and we're not eating right and we're not doing the exercise we need to be doing and not making that top of mind, it's just not going to get done. So it's really just, this is like a rallying cry, everyone, to make this a priority and make it easy, right? So there's probably ways to kind of hack this and make it easy if it's a meal prep or whatever it is. We've kind of all heard all that, but to really make this a priority. I want to ask you this question so I don't forget, because you had mentioned something as I was digging into all your videos of the impact on lifting heavy on our mind. So like on anxiety and depression and how there is this correlation, because everything hits right now at this middle life, right? So it's hard charging with work and the kids and the this and the aging parents and dealing with their own bodies. And I know, and also from personal experience, that my anxiety sort of shot up. So I am curious to know, can lifting weights help us with anxiety and depression?
Many, many studies show that exercise, whether it's lifting weights or whether it's more cardio in nature, have a profound effect on the brain. In fact, two things that I'm very interested in is a protein called galanin. Galanin is a protein that is made when you contract skeletal muscle. It goes to your brain and works, and I always mispronounce this, on a part called the cerulus longus. Somebody's going to correct us in your notes. But what it does is helps your brain become more resilient. That's number one. Number two, everybody already knows that when you break a sweat, you work hard, the endorphins you produce gives you a buzz like one Prozac all day. It acts like the same mental boost as a Prozac. But there is lots of data that exercise stimulates the production of something called brain neurogenic growth factor. We're building better brains. We're building more neurons in there. Lots of proteins are stimulated to be made when we're simply contracting skeletal muscle. There is no downside to it. Plus, it makes you feel better. It gives you that boost of, oh, I'm such a badass. I just lifted whatever.
When you said it makes you feel like a badass, I'm trying to, get out of my zone. We're all in our zones that we do. And we have to push ourselves to get out of. I do a lot of yoga, adding weights, but I'm adding sculpt classes, and I'm going to, the kids have put together sort of a home gym. I have the weights. I have no excuse. I have a teen son who's like making gains.
Yes. He loves teen
son. We're doing deadlifts today, honey. What are we doing? We got all the protein shakes. We got all this stuff. But I remember there's this one trainer around here and she's really great. She's midlife. She's like yells at the top of her lungs, you've got to lift heavy. She's like, this sculpt class is great, but you got to come to my gym that I manage and like lift heavy. So I did this class with her and I felt different after that class than I felt going to some of my other yoga classes. Cause this was, I was lifting heavy to failure, dying, couldn't see straight, silently was hating her, but I left and I felt even more of an elevated feeling that I normally get just at a regular exercise class or just going on a walk. And see, I guess it's that badass, but that's why I was asking about the brain, because I feel like there was some correlation to just, and maybe it's also doing different things and like using different circuits in your brain, because it's not everything's just rote. Like if you just keep doing the same exercises, going to the same yoga class, it's going to get boring and it's not going to feel like you've done anything exciting.
And talk about sculpting. I don't know what kind of protocol, if you will, routine that sculpting class has, but for me and the women I work with, nothing makes us look leaner and more sculpted than lifting heavy faster than it's ever happened for me before. And, I think we're all trying to avoid the chicken arm thing. And it's not possible for that to stay around if you're lifting heavy, you're building so much muscle. So I just think it's underrated. We don't have to be afraid of it.
I think we have our marching orders, ladies. We've got to lift heavy and we've got to increase our protein. I have a question for you, because as I was, again, digging around and getting into, I love all the technical stuff and we could talk for 5 hours probably, but you mentioned something on one of your videos. It was called musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about that, because we all know, I've had other doctors on, we've talked about sort of symptoms of menopause, but I've never heard, and treatments, but I've never heard of this sort of overall discomfort and pain related to being in menopause. Can you explain that?
I sure can. So the term, the nomenclature, musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause, you may not have heard that because I made it up and now I'm publicizing it, but here's what it is. Estrogen works on everything. We know it works on our brain, Lisa Moscone's work. We know it works on our hearts. We know it works on every organ in our body. Why wouldn't it work on our musculoskeletal system? And lo and behold, the six ways estrogen walking out the door affects our musculoskeletal system in 80% of all midlife women is, number one, total body aches. This was a huge problem for me before I started on estrogen and cut out sugar. My whole body hurt. You don't know why. You haven't been hurt. Sometimes you're diagnosed with fibromyalgia and it's not that at all. It's really your perimenopausal and nobody knows what to call it. So total body aches is called arthralgia. The reason we get that is because estrogen is a huge anti-inflammatory. So without that powerful anti-inflammatory, we just become hot and red inside and it feels like pain. So arthralgia, number one. Number two, we lose our bone density. Estrogen is critical for the maintenance of the balance of bone building. So here's what I want people to understand. In midlife, we can still build bone, but because estrogen has walked out the door, the cell that breaks down bone, the osteoclast, the OC, osteoclast, is uninhibited. Normally, estrogen dampers it down. So the building cell, the blast, and the clast are about similar. Well, the clast gets out of control when there's no estrogen to damp it down. So we break down more bone. That's what's happening. So in between perimenopause and menopause, we will lose 2-3% a year, so that without even knowing it, you've lost 10-20% of your bone density. And many women do not lay down enough bone as young women anyway. So we're starting behind. So number one, arthralgia. Number two, loss of bone density. Number three, without estrogen, we have an increased speed of muscle loss. There is a phenomenon with just simple aging called sarcopenia. We just start to lose muscle. Without estrogen, that ramps up. So that's number three. Number four is our cartilage, which is the lining of our joints, is unprotected. Cartilage is a matrix, like a sponge, and estrogen protects that matrix. Men before 50 have more arthritis than women. After 50, when estrogen leaves, women have more arthritis than men because our cartilage can't hold us anymore. So talk about leading to disability and future surgery and lots of pain. And then the final category, two categories that I put under musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause, not only do we get inflamed and we have arthralgia, we get inflamed all over the place and people show up with things like frozen shoulder, which is a huge topic all over the place now. You did nothing. You did not bang into the dresser, but your shoulder is so painful, it won't move and you can't hook your bra like overnight. That is the inflammation that goes along with this. And then finally, we have redistribution of our fat from our periphery to surrounding our organs, which is the belly fat everybody hates. So those six things are the musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause. And 80% of women will experience these problems and 25% of us will be devastated by it. And they are one of the leading causes of frailty. And so we got to get in front of it and we got to start as soon as we find out about it.
We've talked about hormone therapy on the show. I mean, I'm on a patch and it's been life-changing. I was on it, then off, and because I thought it made me feel funky. I was probably on it too soon. It was like right after I'd gone off the pill and never had a period again. Everyone's heard me talk about this, but it was life-changing. I felt like some of those aches and pains you talked about went away. I had horrible brain fog. I couldn't focus. I'm like, I don't even know if I can work again. I have 20,000 sticky notes and I felt like I was going crazy. So there's those benefits. I'm just also thinking about the women who maybe can't take hormones or they don't want to. I'm assuming if they do everything we sort of talked about, at least try to mitigate everything, that's going to offer some relief. Is there anything else that they could be doing?
Well, I don't want women who cannot or decide not to take estrogen to think that they're out of the club. The fact of the matter is that everything we've talked about, lifting weights, jumping up and down to impact your bones, protein diet, getting enough sleep, maintaining amazing friendships are all the lifestyle ways that we can profoundly impact our health. Because here's the thing, estrogen is a magic patch, but it's not a magic pill. It doesn't take care of everything. It's not the only thing you have to do. If you take that, you still aren't going to grow more muscle. You're still not going to lose the fat you hate. But what it will do, if you can, it will maintain your brain, your bones, your muscle. So I take estrogen as my elixir of longevity. But if you cannot or do not want to, your elixir of longevity is the hard work that I just talked about, because you can do it and many women do.
Okay, great. Woo-hoo. What do the men have to deal with, by the way, Dr. Wright? Like, what do they have to deal with? My husband washes his face with bar soap. Like, come on. Like, what?
Well, men have 29 medications for erectile dysfunction. I don't know. They seem to be pretty well covered, frankly.
I know.
Deal with your prostates.
I know. That's a whole other podcast episode of how women's health hasn't been looked at like men's health. I mean, we'll save it. You guys have all heard it. We'll save that for another time. So I know I have you just for a little bit more time. So I want to ask you, just kind of flip it and ask a couple of different questions. What do you think the best thing is about being in midlife? We've talked about like our challenges and the hormones and all of this, but I know what my answers are. So I'm curious to hear what you think the best thing is about being in midlife.
Oh my gosh, I love this time of life, right? And I did a little calculation. I just had a birthday in February and I've decided I had my first adulthood, right? I'm 57. I want to live to at least 97. My first 40 years were marriage and children and getting my degrees and grinding away at work. It was lots of hard adulting. And now I get here and I get to enjoy the fruits of my hard work. I get to be, I have three words I love about this. I love being ageless. Like I talk about my age all the time, but frankly, I don't care because I'm going to always work to get to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So ageless means nothing. Authentic. Jen, I get to be whoever I want to be, which is me. At any time, I had just posted something today that Sarah Blakely had put up about not dimming your light because other people are intimidated by your light. And I'm going to tell you for sure, I have always been a high capacity person. I could always do 20 things at once. I could always show up in a surgical mask with heels and lipstick. But I'm going to tell you that the response from other people to that shininess made me not want to be shiny and not want to tell people about my capacity. At this age, I get to be authentically me and unabashedly just do what I want and am capable of doing. That's new for me. And then I love that we are all like making people scratch their heads. Like we're indefinable. Like, aren't you supposed to be some way? Because isn't that the way women get? And we're like, yeah, no, not for me. Maybe for that person, not for it. Maybe for Aunt Minnie. But so authentic, ageless, indefinable. I just love it. And you know, I was never in a sorority and I've had a tight group of really close girlfriends, but I have more meaningful female relationships now than I ever have in my whole life. Because I just don't find Maybe I don't find mean girls now, or maybe I'm just so intolerant I wouldn't spend 2.5 minutes in that arena, but it's beautiful.
You are not the first and last person to say that, and I have said those exact words. These past couple of years, I have made the most incredible friendships and met the most amazing women. And I think it's all to everything you just said. It's like not giving a shit. Finally standing up, because all of us, I'm high capacity like you. People have said, you're doing too much. I'm like, what's too much? I can add, that's my capacity. I'm glad you said that. My personal capacity is a lot. And I realize that. Like, how do you do it all? Like, I just do it. And if I love it, you know, I do it. You know, we've all had people try to dim our lights. If it's a workplace situation, parents, friends, people are going to try that. And that's what I work with women on now. And I'm just like trying to get them out there and promote their businesses and all that. And people are going to recoil, but also people are going to be drawn to you, which brings me to you're only meeting amazing women because that's that vibration you're vibrating at.
Yeah, good thought. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right.
That's who you're attracting because people know like, oh, you've got a force field around you. Like you're not going to deal with the BS.
That's right.
Because if you only expect to meet amazing women, that's all you're going to meet.
Yeah.
If someone comes in, they're going to kind of quickly go away. So I just wanted to say that to you.
Oh, I love that. Good coaching. I love that, Jen. Thank you.
But it's like, I've said this before. It's like, if you like red cars, all of a sudden, all you're going to see are red cars. So if you're just like, God, there's so many freaking amazing women. Oh, boom. They're just all around
you.
They're
all here. Yeah. I'm so thankful.
And it's what you attract. So every guest finishes this sentence as we wrap up. So I'm not too fucking old too.
I'm not too fucking old to go do multiple Spartan races every year.
Ooh, are you a Spartan runner?
I'm a Spartan stadion runner, which means that Spartan holds their races, the kind I do, in legendary arenas like Fenway or in the Buccaneers or in the Bears in Soldier Field. And you get to go do obstacles and run 3.2 miles and be a badass midlife woman. I know. Talk about feeling good when you're done. Yeah.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. I just felt like a chill because there's nothing we can't do.
There's nothing we can't do.
You want to learn how to ski? You want to do Spartan races? You want to do like moguls, like salsa dancing, horseback riding, you know, handstands and yoga, kick those 18-year-olds' asses. We get to do it all. There's nothing stopping us but us. So I'm so glad we're ending on this note because, the reason I started doing all this years ago was because some woman said in the yoga bathroom, like, I'm just going to give up. And maybe she was like 60. And it just, something came out of me. I couldn't control myself. And I just said, what? Can't give up. Why would you give up?
No way.
No, there's no giving up. There's only going forward and conquering everything we want to conquer. Oh my God. It has been so amazing talking to you. This has been so great. So where can everybody find you, buy your books, get more information and get into your world, Dr. Wright?
So if you're not there already, I primarily communicate through Instagram. I can only be so many places, but a lot of amazing people are in that journey with me. So Dr. Vonda Wright, Dr. Vonda Wright. If you want to learn how to do all these things that I've just talked about, I hold retreats, small retreats for groups of women. We do biomarker testing. We teach you to lift heavy. We build amazing community. And I'm having one in May called the Midlife Mastery Retreats. So I know. And so there's a website, midlifemasteryretreat.com.
Oh, I love it.
I know. You should come. You'll have fun.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to get to one of your retreats. We're going to link all of that in the show notes for you guys. So come hang out with both of us on Instagram because it's fun. Women supporting women, women wanting to thrive, live till minimum 97, if not beyond. And we're going to do it in style. We're going to do whatever the F we want. Let's just face it. Let's end it there. Well, it has been such a treat chatting with you today. Really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how I can help you with your business or life, or you'd like to know more about this podcast, please visit my website at www.jenmarples.com. And if you sign up for my newsletter, I've got two free juicy gifts for you. My Stepping into the Spotlight guide, if you're ready to be seen and heard in your business, and my 12 Steps to Pivot guide, if you're itching for a change but don't know where to begin. Finally, I'd love to connect with you on socials. So please follow me at Jen Marples on Instagram, LinkedIn, or TikTok, and let me know you listen to the show. Nothing makes me happier than connecting with you, dear listener. Have a beautiful day.